section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting god, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission control to podcasting god, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
Episode of IBWIP. We're at the High Note in Pekin, our home away from home, and we are lucky enough to have Graham Lindsay with us. Graham, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
The last time we were talked and on the show was episode 63, which was back in June of 2012. So it's nice to be able to be face to face with you for the first time. So.
Been a while.
The new album is Digging Up Birds, a collection of rarities and others, and it comes out May 27th. Mm-hmm. And it's a collection of like some old songs and some demos and some live cuts as well. How did the project come to be?
I had been sitting on these songs for years, all the way from since 2000, and I had to just get them out. They were just festering and
sure.
Stinking up the room. So, and there's, yeah, like I said, there's stuff from 2000, there's demos that were studio demos for the first album, Famous Anonymous Wilderness. And yeah, I was like 20, 21 years old, I think, or something. And so there's a few of those. There's a bunch of home recording demos, just shitty recordings that have been sitting around that I never really wanted to turn into songs, at least take them to the studio. So I wanted to do something with them.
Sure.
And they've just been all sitting there collecting dust. So I thought it'd be a good time to get them out.
Now, are they? Did you go in the studio and redo them, or are they all like the original recordings?
No, they're all the original recordings. In the liner notes of the CD, it says, like, you know, what year they come from.
Sure.
And where they were recorded, and of course, who's playing on them, if there are additional players and stuff. But I feel like I was finally far enough, you know, away from those songs to let them out.
Sure.
And it's something that I've never really done before. I've always spent a lot of time working on an album and combing over every detail and making sure everything is as perfect as I can make it.
Right.
Which gets exhausting.
Right.
It's,
and by the time you're done with that album, you're already had your fill of it.
Right.
So. The arrangement, you know, the stripped down feel to the tracks really put a whole new feel to your songs. I think that they emphasize your lyrics even more than on your other albums. Was that intentional, or is it just the roughness and rawness of the recording?
I think a lot of it's just the roughness. There's a lot of them, like I said, haven't even made it to the studio, and that's what I wanted to expose or to share or whatever, and to, you know,
sure,
get out of me is, you know, I had the opportunity to re-record them or, you know, mix them fancifully. And,
sure.
But that's not what I wanted to do. I just wanted to showcase
the actual,
how, you know,
the actual,
you know,
song itself.
The moment that they first were put on tape. Or,
sure.
You know.
You've been kind of quiet the past year. What have you been up to?
A whole bunch of stuff. We had a very dear friend of ours pass away about a year and a half ago. And so we've kind of been helping out his family and getting things, you know, as organized as possible.
Sure.
It's just been a whole lot of family time, really. And just we haven't been touring, we haven't been, you know, which it's not, you know, it's just something we had to do.
Sure, sure.
There was no question about it. And our friend Richard, his passing a year and a half ago, about now, I can't deny that was a huge catalyst for getting this collection out.
Sure.
Because it was, you're gonna fucking die. Everybody dies.
Right. And you just get it out.
So shit or get off the pot.
Right.
So.
And do you think maybe that break and the time that you've spent, did you feel like it's kind of maybe rejuvenated your creativity, or do you just been?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously I wish it didn't have, you know, didn't
right.
happen to have to do that, but it's definitely, I mean, myself and my wife Tina and you know, a strong core of friends of ours, you know, family,
sure,
you know, have been affected immensely by it. So,
and in situations like that, do you find that dealing with feelings or dealing with situations, that writing songs or writing lyrics or music is your way of kind of expressing and getting those feelings? You know, some people have a hard time articulating, like, I do on questions on interviews,
right.
But
right.
Is that a way that you spend a lot of time articulating your feelings a lot of times?
That's the best way I know how to communicate. I'm horrible at interviews.
Right. I'm horrible at giving them, so it's all good.
Good, you got it.
Well, I did some research on the internet, and I found an interesting thing that I didn't know about, that you used to play drums for a punk band called Old Skull, and it was the youngest punk band in the world, and you were 12 years old when you started playing drums for them. Mm-hmm. How does it come about that a 12-year-old joins a punk band and plays drums?
I have no idea. I met the Old Skull kids when I was like 11 or 12. I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. That's where I was born, and hung out on State Street and met a lot of people, some of whom were in Old Skull. Yeah, because we all travel in the same scene in the same circles
of people. Sure.
And they were starting a band, and they knew that I played drums at the time, and drummers are typically one of the hardest musicians to find. So they asked me to be in this new band that they were starting. There was going to be like 7 or 8 people. It was going to be like a punk rock orchestra. And I was like, cool, that sounds great, you know, as long as it's not of a skull, like, that sounds awesome. So I went to the first practice, and, like, basically nobody showed up except them and myself. And then they kind of just made the decision, well, I guess, you know, screw that idea, we'll just be old skull and you can drum. And I was kind of stuck, so.
What was the experience like? I mean, being so young and, you know, being involved in a band and everything.
It was awesome. It was great. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Being that young, you're obviously receiving all kinds of weird input.
Sure.
That's not the same when you're 20 or 30 or something, and you get exposed to a lot quickly. I mean, even just the business side of it, you get to see the shitty side of hey, I'm a 13-year-old, I just want to play drums in a punk rock band.
Right.
It's like you got all these assholes breathing down your neck and pulling strings and all this shit.
The band had quite a bit of notoriety for, you know, it wasn't just a local kind of band.
Right.
So
no,
it was
worldwide attention. I was only with them for about a year and a half at tops, and you know, they had offers to go on Maury Povich. And they'd been on Maury Povich, and we had another offer to do that, but it didn't come through. And then there was, you know, playing Metal Fest, and I didn't get the glitz and the glamour of all that. Thankfully, probably. But no, it was just awesome.
Did it kind of feed your appetite for music even more? Or
yeah, definitely, absolutely.
What and on Wikipedia, because everything on Wikipedia is true, but it says, it says that you got punished for a month from your parents, and that was ultimately led the band to its breakup. Is that true?
No, and I don't know where that, I mean, I know where that comes from, but I don't know how it got distilled into that. And I did get punished. Well, I had a choice. I could go to I got caught shoplifting, and my parents gave me the ultimatum. Of either staying an old skull or going to a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones show. And at the time, I was 13, I liked the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones,
sure.
So I went to the show.
Right on. Well, you know.
It didn't break up because of
all right,
that. I set the fucking record.
We gotta go fix Wikipedia.
Exactly.
So, like you said, you grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. What was your childhood like?
It was great. It was good.
Normal.
Yeah, my parents were wonderful. They're wonderful.
Are they still married?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
They're still supportive and come to shows, and so
that's awesome. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one younger brother, and he joined the Air Force, and he's out of that now, and he's teaching English in China.
Oh wow!
So
that's wild.
Yeah, a bit of duality.
And your parents are really supportive, and your family is really supportive of your music and the choice to do that?
Definitely.
So how did you meet your lovely, lovely wife, Tina?
I had moved to the country in Mississippi River Valley of Wisconsin in 2000. And a friend at the time, right after I moved into the cabin, had a friend over, and he thought I would be a good fit if I went to work with autistic children and mm-hmm. adults. There's a group home in the town there that I lived near that I was looking through the one ad or the job classifieds, and he thought, hey, that would you'd work, and we kind of got a laugh out of it, and I didn't think much of it. And then 2 weeks later, after still not having a job, I finally went and applied there and started working at a CBRF group home. And Tina was a manager of like 5 houses there.
Okay.
And so she was my boss. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And just spun from there. I actually was a group home manager for a long time too.
Right on.
So that's pretty cool. You're currently touring with Billy Cook, the amazing Billy Cook. But where? He's already left. No. So how long have you guys known each other?
A few years, about three years, I think.
And is this the first time you guys have toured together?
We did a couple of dates last December together with Derek Dunn and My Graveyard Jaw, which was great fun. It was, you know, a lot of different, you know, styles,
sure, sure,
stylistically different kinds of music within the same genre of whatever the hell this is, and had a great time. And so we, Tina and I had been thinking about having, you know, getting a bassist for a while, but it's never been my intention to look for, you know, the person with the best chops, the person that whatever the, you know,
sure,
whatever. It has to be the first most important thing has to be the person is a good person and we get, sure, along with them and there's no bullshit.
Right.
And Billy fits the bill. He also has the chops.
Right.
And he's pretty good looking too.
I've heard that. So not only do you sing, you play drums, guitar, banjo, harmonica, write songs. What do you think is your strongest instrument?
I don't know. I like them all. I like words. I like the words the most.
Sure.
I find it easier to write, or, you know, write a riff or whatever, or play a beat, than I do coming up with words that actually are communicating what I'm thinking and are what I want to say. So, yeah.
What was the most difficult to learn?
Banjo was a bitch. At least clawhammer banjo. It took a good couple of years to really get that rhythm down.
Sure.
That technique. That was definitely the hardest, I think.
So what do you have planned for the rest of 2014?
We just started on our tour and we broke down once already,
right,
before the tour even started. So fixing the car is definitely on the agenda. We've got 30 more dates to go.
Wow.
I think about 30, 28, something like that. And we'll be going out to the Midwest, for a music video premiere that a good friend of mine, Michael McCallum in Lansing, Michigan, is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredible, incredible video. I'm just absolutely honored and,
awesome,
like, just floored by it. And so that'll be premiering in Lansing, Michigan, and it's already gotten into a film festival in Iowa.
Oh, wow.
So he's
awesome,
pitching it. And, so we're going out to do that and then swinging back around through the Midwest and then out west. So yeah.
So it's a good month and a half worth of dates.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you'll be busy.
Definitely.
So there's a game I like to play that nobody else likes.
All right.
And it's called Word Association, and it always listeners have called in saying they don't like it. Guests have said they don't like it, but
cool.
I'm going to do it anyway.
I like it.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a name or a phrase, and I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
All right.
Okay. Frank Sinatra.
Lovely.
All right.
Sorry, that was too slow.
No, that's fine.
I'm not trying to think about it.
That's right. Lee Harvey Oswald.
Shit. That's, yeah, shit.
Shit. The X-Men.
Pretentious?
Las Vegas.
Cheese.
Cheese?
Cheese.
How did you come up with cheese?
I don't know. Okay. This is a word association.
Exactly.
Man.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
I don't... Blank.
Blank.
Total blank.
And a Jay-Z.
Right. I'm fucking this up.
No, it's...
All right.
It's...
I'll say it again.
Jay-Z.
Clams.
Clams. Right. Cheese and clams. So, where can folks go to find the new... get a hold of the new album?
Okay, it's on grahamlindsay.net. And it's also available. It's available digitally through there, but we actually do have real life CDs that people can touch and hold and place drinks on or whatever they want to do. And those are at cdbaby.com. There's a link through the grahamlindsay.net website too for those.
Awesome. We'll put a link up. Graham, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've talked before, and it's been a pleasure to actually see you perform for the first time. I appreciate it. And thank you very much, and good luck on the new album.
Absolutely, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I've seen my name in the lights of the old marquee. Half a dozen strangers trying to sneak in for free. But I ain't in love with flattery. How much could any of it really? My picture in a book so someone might remember me, but those aren't the things I need. Oh, I don't wanna know who I would be. Say you got a gift and they wanna hear you sing. But I'd rather paint a picture more than anything of just what you mean to me. I might bide my time with these things I do.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.